Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Two Fanboys and Filthy Casuals back at you and again. Your favorite podcast with three husky men. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
I'm husky?
Oh, Harold, sorry. You're getting a little petite, I guess. Yeah. You're going to...
Yeah, right.
He's swole.
Yes.
Only in my... Never mind.
Shazam! Very nice segue, Harold. So today, as you can tell, we're in a good mood because this is the first time in, like, this year, I think, that we actually were able to watch a movie together.
Yes.
You know, usually it's...
Was it really together? Because someone was missing for a good portion of the movie here.
He had to get popcorn.
I had to get popcorn. It took me a while to get up those stairs, man.
I can't believe
I had the concession stand all the way downstairs. Forget it. Sorry.
What?
Nitpicky. The concession
stand. Oh, at the bottom.
Yeah,
it was closed back in the middle.
Yes, the second concession stand was closed.
Sorry, man. Why was that trek to...
Shout out to Regal Theater, by the way.
Why was that trek so hard for you?
Because my back is killing me. Thanks, guys. Making me feel old. Interesting story about that.
Turns out it's your back that's making you feel old.
Yes.
By the way, he keeps saying it makes him feel old, not realizing he's still the youngest out of the three of us.
Aren't you like 6 years older than you or something?
It's only five.
It's only five and a half.
Well, who's counting?
Me. I'm good at birthdays.
He's good at math.
He's good at numbers.
So, as you can tell, we're in a good mood because...
Lewis hurt his back.
Damn it. Lewis, you were a witness. I was trying to, like, go around.
Wait, he was giving his explanation real quick.
Okay,
I was going to say, there's an interesting story of nothing. Because I just literally woke up and my back hurt real bad. Shooting numbing pain down my spine.
Anyway. So basically, time is giving you a sharpshooter.
Basically, dude. That was a spear to the back, dude. Good lord. Anyway.
So, here I am trying to, like, steer the bus away from, you know, from your back. Which actually might help if you get hit. I don't know. I'm not a chiropractor.
I'll take anything at this point.
So, today we had an opportunity to watch a movie that everybody's been, the newest superhero movie that everybody was looking forward to. And no, it is not a surprise preview of Endgame. It turns out there was another superhero movie that would you say that a lot of people kind of maybe forgot?
Yeah, because we honestly, between the three of us, we were discussing this. If you had not mentioned that the movie was coming out, I had no idea it was coming out. I mean, I knew it was going to be before Avengers Endgame.
Right.
I just didn't know that it was the weekend that we were going to watch it opening night. And it's just weird that we had no clue that it was coming.
Yeah.
It's funny that right before we bought those tickets, we were actually like scrambling to try to get opening night tickets for Endgame.
Yes.
And, you know, Harold and I have been like, vowing our loyalty to Cinemark, you know, I even checked AMC and all those things. And for that whole weekend, it was pretty much...
it was a wash.
Yeah.
That's
nuts.
So and part of me was hoping that, you know, at least we were going to be able to get a couple of good seats. And turns out that it was half empty.
Yeah. I would say so. But I mean, we did catch it on a Thursday night, which is, literally opening night. So, pretty surprised. But,
So, we're here to talk about Shazam, the newest superhero movie, starring Zach Levi, depending on your faith, I guess. Because
it's not Zach, he's not the slam dunk champion, Zach Levine. He's Chuck.
Oh, yeah?
Who's Zach Levine?
You said Adam Levine.
I know, I was going to say Adam Levine. The sexiest man alive in circa like 4 years ago or something.
Best halftime show, maybe? I don't know.
I like
the best halftime show this year because it was only a halftime show.
I liked his better than Justin Timberlake, to be honest with you.
Ooh, hot take.
Hot take, sir.
But today we're talking about Shazam, a new movie from the...
What is it called?
Shazam.
What is it called?
Shazam!
Oh, thank you.
I gotta say it properly, sorry. So this is the newest movie from Warner Brothers and DC Extended Universe. A new installment in the I guess it just this fun little universe has started off with Superman or Man of Steel almost years ago, and it's been continuing. So yeah, we had a chance to all finally sit down and watch it. Let's do what we usually do and do a quick round of what do we think about the movie?
Before we begin,
Remember
it is a Terry rule. This is going to be spoilers, and of course we have our one of my favorite segments of the series.
I'm so rusty on this.
And what is it called again, Harold?
Lose views.
Brr, brr, brr. Damn. Well, your accent is changing over.
It's becoming Cajun more and more. No, you become Emeril Lagasse.
That's my Shazam.
I can't wait 30 minutes from now what it's going to sound like to me.
Shazam.
When he runs out of energy.
Shazam.
When my pain medication wears off, I'm like,
oh God.
By the way, not the only reason, but one of the biggest things about the movie that was making me crack up the most was the number of times the word Shazam was used in that movie.
Yes.
Like, there's you know, overuse, and there's overkill, and there's, like, mega overkill. That was, like...
This is mega overkill.
Like, if you didn't know the name of the movie coming into it, you knew it by the end of it.
Well, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to hear it. What time is it? Endgame.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I don't think it's gonna work that much.
Okay, damn it.
It's endgame o'clock.
What quarter is this basketball game in? Endgame. No, still doesn't work.
Okay, so lose views.
Lose
views.
All right, so this for lose views.
That's the only reason why I love saying lose views.
So you can do the horns. So you can be the horn.
So this is going to be the quick and dirty quick synopsis of the movie.
Let's take a bit. How long is this going to take?
Oh, Lord. All right, let's...
About 3 to 7 minutes.
You can't look at...
I turned off the IMDb, and like we mentioned, we literally just saw it a few minutes ago.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. And go.
All right, so the movie starts off with young Mark Strong, or who we will find out is Dr. Savannah, our bad guy. We are introduced to him and the wizard Shazam. Wow, there's that word already. So he is a...
Burr, burr, burr.
He is a wizard who is imbuing random people with the power to save the world, I guess. But he is trying to find somebody pure of heart. And then this is back in the 70s, and then we find out that that didn't turn out so well for him. And
what's the name of the wizard?
Shazam.
Burr, burr, burr.
So we fast forward to the present day where we meet foster orphan Billy Batson. He basically checks off all the boxes for if you want to be a sad childhood. You know, he's running away. He's apparently ran away from many foster homes. He's been arrested a few times for misdemeanors and just being a generic knucklehead. He's finally taken in by a wonderful foster home family where he is quote-unquote siblings with five other kids. Five other kids, thank you. And from after which he is having a really trying time because he is still trying to hold on to the memory of his mother, who he was tragically separated during one quick, horrible flashback. It gave me so much anxiety. Just like, it's one of the worst feelings when you lose your child and they put it on the screen and they gave it from the perspective of the child at the time. So we fast forward to when Billy finally meets his foster family. His foster family teaches him the ways of love and cooperation and being family, and he's just being a big jerk and totally rejecting it. So at school, he basically saves one of his stepbrothers or foster siblings from getting beat up. And because of his act of selflessness, he is chosen by the wizard Shazam!
That is three already, dude.
To pick up the mantle of this champion. Now, here's where the fun begins, basically, from the movie, is that basically anytime Billy uttered the word Shazam! He turned into a grown up. You're
run out of breath by the time
he turned into a muscular grown Zachary Levi. So that's where the
was movie, that really muscles?
Yeah, I just, okay, well, it was, okay. So you know, so that's where the shenanigans began. And for the most part, you know, kind of skipping to the review, but this is where I feel the movie really picks up, is where Shazam, or Billy's character, learns about his powers and his abilities. And then we also find out that Savannah, one of the early children who wasn't picked to be champion, has actually picked up the mantle of becoming the vessel of the seven deadly sins. So from there, you know, typical bad guy, good guy fight out. Fight scene. Through the power of love and family, we find Billy finds out that he's more powerful with his family, and he ultimately defeats the seven deadly sins and Savannah, and we are now into a new era of the DC extended universe.
Dude, that is the best lose views that we have ever done. I'm so proud of you, dude. Okay.
Thank you. How did I do? A minute?
Two minutes? 3 minutes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Dude, that felt really fast. Okay.
In his head.
In my head, I was like, that was a minute, right?
Wow.
Shout out to my wife.
Good for you if you think that's a minute and it's actually three times.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, right. When you tell people, yeah, that's like 5 minutes.
It's good time travel right there. Yeah. So, you know, again, not to be condescending, that was actually a pretty impressive. That
okay, movie. Thank you.
My favorite
that.
One so far. Okay. It looks like you've been practicing.
I think. On the drive here, I was practicing.
In my head, I think that's what you should. What you do is like, let's talk about Harry Potter right now.
Yeah. 3 minutes. Start the clock.
So. Let's start. That's the only thing I can say now. Harold Lewis said, "Damn it, go ahead. I'm done with this podcast episode."
It's getting late, fellas. All right, so let's do a quick and dirty review of the movie. What did you guys think? Knee jerk reactions. Let's start with Dennis. Harold.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed it. But it's weird. I enjoyed it as a family movie. I don't think if we try to measure it up as a superhero movie, it's not like excellent. It's not. I'd say it's middle of the pack. But you know, especially considering the message of it, you know, especially in the end with the whole idea of stronger together as a family, I think that's what made the movie shine for me. And so for me, really, really good, excellent characters, I thought. Yeah. For the most part, the actors were well acted and, you know, were relatable. So I'm going to have to give it a positive score, and we'll figure out what our scoring system is later on.
It's funny because watching the movie right before the final battle started, I was like, you know what, this movie's kind of short. It seems like it was really short. Like, mm-hmm. we got to the ending really fast. And then that last battle is really, really long. And I was like, okay, it makes a little more sense. Like, the pacing of that is just a little bit off. What I did enjoy was the whole ethnic diversity of the Foster family.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like the Power Rangers, they were able to hit every single ethnicity, you know?
So there are spoilers, ahoy.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the future. But, like, I mean, even in the Foster family itself, you know, he comes in and there's one crippled kid. And then there's, you know, there's a black kid, uh-huh. There's a Hispanic kid, there's an Asian kid. And, uh-huh. Of course, the Asian kid plays video games because that's not stereotypical or anything. And then, but the interactions that they had together, especially Freddie and Billy, were excellent. I really enjoyed it. I think they got into contention with each other a little too quickly. They needed to build the relationship with each other a little bit more before they started getting... I mean, it was already silly, but then it just became... Like, the idea just became stupid and technically criminal the way things, you know, they were doing. And the thing that was bothering me the most was the kid, the crippled kid's name was Freddy, and for me, he looked just like Fred Savage, and the whole time...
I can see that, you're
I
right.
I was just like, ugh. I was like, somebody went back in time.
Oh. Rough. And aged badly.
Yeah. Still terrible.
For me, a very enjoyable movie. I agree with both of you guys. I think it is a great family movie. You're right. It's actually a lot funnier than you know, a lot of the other DC movies. I mean, compared to the other recent fare with Wonder Woman, which was pretty serious, you know, wartime effort. Not to mention Aquaman 2, which was, you know, graphically, you know, it was a lot for the eyes to take. And this was a lot of fun. Part of me feels, I mean, a quick review or what I feel like, it's kind of like DC's version of Deadpool, almost. Not as much fourth wall breaking as the Deadpool
movie. A PG version.
A PG movie where they did a lot of like winks and nods to the audience. Like, yeah, we get it. We live in this world. We're going to make the jokes. Like, you know, it's a bit of a 180 from the previous DC movies, which, you know, barely acknowledged that other superheroes existed in the universe unless it had to do something with the plot. This one, you know, they kind of had fun with it. You know, like I said, throughout the movie, what I skipped over in the Lou's views is that, you know, they did a lot of references. Yep. You know, they threw in a lot of references to Batman, Superman, you know, and just pop culture in general, which I guess, like I said, is the part that I thought, made it a lot more fun. It was definitely different from what the DC universe is.
Yeah, there were a couple of scenes where it's like, it's almost blatant, and it's kind of sad that... that they kind of revealed it already during the trailers.
Yeah.
Especially during the fight, with the first fight with Savannah, where he goes, you know, I'm Batman. Get him, Batman. Just, I think that would have been such a great, joke within the movie. And so we knew it was coming. It kind of fell flat, but there were just little references. The Superman bullet, the actual supposed, well, not the supposed, but the fake Batarang and all those things. So definitely, I agree. It's, you know, even though DC is talking about how they want to do separate like movies, and they're not really interested in doing a joint universe, for some reason. After saying that, this is the one that actually combines almost every single one of them. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Anything else that worked for you guys from the movie? I mean, the humor, the characterization.
Like, I'm with Dan a little bit. Like, it was funny. But yeah, there was a lot of times where it's like, okay, you're trying a little too hard to be humorous at certain parts. Where it's like, let the humor come naturally. And that's probably one of the best, like, humorous moments of the movie. Where we're like, you know, not... created organically, and then it's like the natural laughter.
Like, humor definitely is there, but I agree with Harold. There were a couple of moments there where, you know, especially during the time where they're exploring Captain Marvel's... are we calling him Captain Marvel?
No one's copywriting us.
No. So Captain Marvel is there, and... you know, we have the funny bits of him testing it out, but then you're right. After that, they could have gone away with it, but there was the whole, you know, he's basically busking outside in the park, and he's playing with his powers and everything,
which he never used. Which bothered the hell out of me, and I was like,
it would have cost him. So
he made the whole bit about having lightning from his hands, and the only time he ever uses it was, like, I guess he takes out a bus on accident.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that the reason he doesn't use it for the rest of the movie?
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
But at the same time, like, there was when all of those deadly sins had, like, all his sisters, his siblings, like, trapped in the thing, I'd be like, dude, just one blast, bro. Like, you can get all of them. I don't know. Maybe it's me. It's like, maybe I had those powers.
You forgot it already?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, overall, I thought it turned out really well. You know, me, I always ask about special effects and everything.
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, Aquaman, which was heavy in the special effects. This one, I wouldn't say it's light, but comparatively, it's... You know, it's
compared to every other DC movie.
Yeah, this is kind of minimal. What did you guys think about the special effects for this one?
I liked it in the sense that it was minimal. Yes, I think I read somewhere that this is actually the lowest budgeted DC movie, and it not that it shows. I shouldn't say that, but you know, a lot of the scenery is kind of organic in a sense that, yeah, like, you know, they didn't really go to any exotic locales. besides Philadelphia. I guess that's what it, even though in the comic books they're supposed to live in Fawcett City, but you know, besides Philadelphia, a carnival, the most fantastic place they went to was the Rock of Eternity, which, to be perfectly honest, looked like a soundstage. That could have been like anywhere else. So I can see where, you know, they kind of saved a little bit of money there. And it also looked like they saved a little money on keeping Zach Levi out of the gym because it's a muscle suit.
It's a real.
Homie's wearing a muscle suit.
Okay, so it is.
Yeah.
Because it's been bugging me. Everybody online has been talking about how he bulked up for right. it.
See, look, this is the thing is, I had assumed that he put on, you know, he worked out to get a certain amount to look without too much padding mm-hmm. until they put on Adam Brody into the, when Adam Brody came on, I was like, there's no way Adam Brody, who's that, been yeah. a stick for ever since the OC, yeah, you know, right. like, I was like, I've seen all his, most of his movies. He's not going anywhere, bro. So
I love the fact that Miss Marvel, and I don't know what the little girl's name for mm-hmm. Marvel name, but I love the fact that they look normal, you know, yeah. aside from being physically fit, and then the other three look like
because they're dudes.
Yeah, the guy's like overcompensated. Yeah.
They got drawn funny.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, the CGI worked for me. The little bit of lightning bolts. I mean, after you've seen Thor three times or a bunch of times, you know, you kind of get used to that lighting effect. I mentioned earlier too, one of the bad guys, or the, you know, the bad guys find its power from the seven deadly sins. That one I wasn't too fond of. It looked very much like lately I've been playing this Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor game. They look like a bunch of, you know, Xbox, PlayStation 4.
Let's go three, because yeah. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One is actually pretty good.
Like, I don't know if you guys remember the movie Weird Science.
Yes, yeah.
Weird Science from the 80s.
Yes.
But these guys, they do weird science. But they turned Bill Paxton into a troll. And the troll looks exactly like the Seven Sins. And I was just waiting for Bill Paxton to show up. I'm like, come on, Wyatt.
Hi, guys. I'm Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you can't do it anymore. I know.
So I'm with you. But, you know, depending on where it was, when it was in the Rock of Eternity, I was like, man, you know, real. I'm really digging the graphics here. I'm really digging.
There you are.
Digging everything. But the moment they went outside of the concrete, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, it looks like something you'd see from Saban Entertainment. Yeah. You know, yeah.
That's why it was ironically that the Silly Putties were fighting against the Power Rangers. Like, they all had different colors. They're all different ethnicities.
Yes.
No, so, yeah, during, like, the superpowers and all those things, when it's them flying around, I didn't even notice the fact that those guys, most likely, as they were flying around, were special effects or CGI, just because the other CGI around them was kind of terrible.
Yeah.
So, definitely no boo. Minus points.
Middle on the ground there, yeah. Because, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Aquaman levels of heavy, and it's not Wonder Woman levels of practical effects here. Because if I'm not mistaken, Wonder Woman is like, you know, a lot of their effects look pretty good too. But anyway, so yeah.
So, how about the actors or the actresses, the characterization? What'd you guys think about that?
I think the kid who played Billy was the best actor in the movie.
Definitely.
And he kind of overshadowed Zachary Levi in terms of character. Like you're going to be more sympathetic towards the kid than you are to a superhero, but they never carried that weight. Like, Zachary Levi never carried the weight that the teenage Billy carried.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it never transferred over. So you weren't really sympathetic towards him. But when he would transfer back to Billy, then you'd be like, oh, I hope nothing bad happens to Billy.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with you. Considering that, as Shazam, he's supposed to have, like, all those powers. The wisdom of, I forget.
Solomon,
Solomon or something like that. And for some reason, as young Billy Batson, he was really mature and, you know, very thoughtful.
Yeah.
The moment he became Shazam, I had to do it. All of a sudden, he became like a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, it was like, where's this immaturity coming from?
Yeah.
You've spent the last you know, 10 years of your life, you know, fending for yourself, all of a sudden, just because, I mean, who knows, maybe it's the joy.
It might be the whole, you know, that's the whole, might be the tale of the movie, is that if you are given powers all of a sudden, you are a teenager, do you, you know, use it for good? Obviously, they're going to, I mean, it's a hero movie, so he does use it for good. But at the same time, do you, you know, like, for a little bit, he does a little bit of crime, you know, stealing money. Mm-hmm. And getting free food and everything, and it's like those options, do they weigh on you, or like the superpowers on one side and like using it for you know, actual benefits towards everybody else but yourself, and then it comes all the way back where he talks about like the only person you should be looking at is for yourself. Mm-hmm. So that kind of comes around to that. So
I totally, sorry.
He blinked out. His back was hurting so bad. He was like,
just so you, the audience, this is a Herculean effort for Lewis right now.
Yeah.
You can see the pain in his face. He's doing you guys a favor right now.
Yeah, literally playing Eye of the Tiger in his head the whole time.
The opiates are fading. I mean, I'm totally here, guys. So for the acting, I totally agree with Harold. There are some like really great character moments for Billy, especially like like we kind of mentioned, the crux of his character arc is that for 10 years he's been looking for his mom who lost him at the, at the carnival, and we come to the moment in the movie where he finally finds out where she lives and he confronts her, and it turns out that she. Whew, this is rough. We just recorded our moments that make you cry. This one didn't make me cry, but it was close. It was kind of plucking at, it was throwing rocks at the heartstrings.
Puncher, what are you talking about?
Exactly. You kind of, you know, she was such a horrible mom because she basically admitted to Billy that, you know, she didn't want him and that she was too young and that the circumstances weren't right. And, you know, the whole thing that he built up in his head that his mom was going to want him when he came back, or he, you know, it was just a mistake. It turned out all to be false. Like, she had a chance to get him back, but she decided, you know what, he's probably better off in the quote-unquote system. And, you know, Billy, the actor, Asher Angel, I believe his name is, did a really good job of conveying that, you know, that emotion of being crushed and whatnot. And then, actually, the funny, I think that was the turning point in the movie, too, is when he gets a call from his, you know, his foster brother saying that he's in trouble. And then that's when he kind of clicks in his head that, you know, it's right. Home is where you decided it to be. It's not necessarily your biology or whatnot. So it was a good little message. I think he did a really good job. And yeah, nothing against Zach Levi either, but he did a serviceable job as a superhero. But maybe it's just the dialogue that made him kind of, yeah, he made him look like a jerk during the times when, you know, he was still learning his powers or taking advantage at least of it. So
like, even once he finally mastered everything. You know, like, he's still acting more childish than the regular Billy Batson.
Here's the thing about the mom. Like, right away, I was like, I hate that mom character. Because, like, you know, as a kid, he used to get lost all the time. You'd assume, you know, find, like, the whole role is find an adult, and then they'll help find you from your parents, whatever. And if there's a cop car at an amusement park and you see a child on the cop car and no one comes to get you, it's obvious that mom don't want you, bro. Because it's like, if she wanted to leave you, like, yeah, it was just making me angry the whole time. Because, like,
you knew
it was. He was all sympathetic in the story. I was like, no, automatically, I would be like, well, there he is right there, you know. And
well, here's the thing, though. In my head, there's that scene where the Asian kid, of course, uses tech to go on the internet and find things that nobody else can. You know, where it's like, this is your mom, and your mom, and then there's that pause, and I was like, thank God she's dead. Like,
oh, yeah,
no. In my head, I was like, please, the whole time, please let her be dead, because that is just going to make her the worst mom in superhero movie, though.
Literally, it's like, I forgot what I was going to say right now, but it's like, if you're obviously looking for your child, if you're looking,
mm-hmm.
you would find your child, right, like, you would not leave the vicinity, and then even if everybody cleared out and they're still cuffed, you know, there's your kid.
Yeah.
But, like, as soon as, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I got left at the amusement park. I'm like, what do you, like, if you're the mom and you lose your kid, you go, well, I guess I'll find him another time. Yeah. You just go home. It's like, yeah. That's already like,
yeah, that, I was like red flags.
Dude. Yeah, I was like,
well, that's why I was hoping, because she didn't really look that well. Maybe she had a heart attack or something. You know, right as like, oh my god, my son's missing. Ah, and then falls
asleep. She got stabbed by one of the darts she was throwing.
She was not a pro, it turns out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because like they're trying to make her version of the story sound like, you know, a little bit meaner, and I'm like, it's the same story, dude. Yeah.
There was the part where they tried to do the same story, but in the mom's
different angle.
I'm pretty sure it was the same shot. Yeah. Shot per shot, it was the same thing.
Like in his version, he's like, I'm trying for you, baby, and then in her version's like, well, you know,
I'm trying you. I think they just changed filters.
Yeah, to make her look like dumpier.
Yeah. In his version, she was an angel. Actual version's like, nope, turn the filters off.
Like, So, how about, you know, we've been talking about Zach Levy or whatever his name is, Asher Angel. Let's talk about a couple of the other people. Mark Strong.
Yes.
You know, I kind of mentioned how Mark Strong is, for some reason, always there in some of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he did a serviceable job as Savannah,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, every single time I say that name, I want to think of Sylvana, which is a very, very tasty treat.
The TV.
But yeah, so as Savannah, what do you guys think about him?
I really enjoyed his version of Savannah. I think he's a great like character actor. Like he was in the Sherlock Holmes movies, and he was also in.
Reminded me that it's pretty much the same character that
yeah.
he played.
The Moriarty again.
And he was also Sinestro, if you remember. Wasn't he in? He was in Sinestro, right? But you know, it was interesting how they use, you know, how they introduced the character. Like I mentioned, you know, the movie actually starts from Savannah's perspective. So you know, we have talked about in every movie review that we've made in the last two seasons that, you know, the villains are always kind of one side, or, you know, one layered, or, you know, not very multifaceted. You know, this one they tried, you know, towards the end he did, you know, resort back to being just a cackling bad guy, but at least they established early on that, you know, he was raised by a jerk of a dad who was also played by, I'm trying to look him up, but he played Alexander Luthor
in
Smallville. Okay. Yes. So I can't pull up his name. I can't find his name right now. But yeah,
I just remember him as the guy that played Ronald Clamp in Gremlins 2.
Oh my god! Wait, you've been inside to see Gremlins?
Yeah, you haven't seen Gremlins 2 at least.
No, man. Wait, we had this conversation before.
I know, but like, I know we talked about Gremlins, and you said you never. But
I love Gremlins.
Gremlins 2 is actually
a better movie. We've had this conversation. Okay,
but yeah, so I thought Mark Strong and the villain. Savannah was perfectly fine. Shout out to DC for doing this trend the last few movies where just the last two. Never mind. Wonder Woman, they killed off their bad guy, but in Aquaman and in this one in Shazam, they've kept the bad guy.
I'm running out of steam.
Justice League, they kept the.
Oh yeah, that's true. So maybe, you know, part of me feels
Suicide
like
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, I don't know who you guys.
Who was really the bad guy in that movie? You know, they kept him around. So, you know, there's a potential for sequels or, you know, some kind of team up or something going on like that. So, yeah.
One of the fun things for me, and kind of, again, spoiler alert, while we were going through it and it was nearing the end where Savannah finally captured the family, in the back of my head, the whole time I was like, this has to be a Billy Batson story. You know, it has to be Billy Batson succeeding and actually defeating Savannah. And in the back of my mind, man, at least can we have like a special ending at the end, you know, an end credit scene where we actually see the Marvel family as transformed. And then when all of a sudden, right there, and they hold on to the staff and they yell Shazam, I have to tell you, that was one of, I got emotional because that was not just a culmination of the whole family being strong together, but that was a scene I did not know I wanted so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I know you're a big comic book fan, and like the whole Marvel family is big in the lore. So yeah, I was totally with you on that one. I thought that was just gonna be like a little cutesy, like kind of like an Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie, where Rhodey was like, "Oh, next time I'll wear the suit."
Yeah.
This one was like, "Nope, we'll just put it all in there." It's like, "Okay, we got the whole Marvel family. That's amazing." But I mean, a little bit, you know, Harold already mentioned what's that guy name from the OC? I can't remember now. Adam Brody.
Even though that would have been a great. So Adrian Brody needs to be a villain in one of these movies.
Yeah. He's got the face for a villain. But yeah, like that was one of the best like little Easter eggs that turned into like a full on plot point. So I'm all in for that.
The biggest Easter egg ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm really that's one of the things I was thinking there, like there was that couple seconds right before they yelled Shazam, I was like, we have not seen even one inkling that there's going to be the Marvel family.
Yeah.
Like, right before, I was like, my God, this is a great secret that they've actually been able to keep.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I was completely shocked.
And it was a great reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually looking, like, if you look on IMDb right now, it says they're uncredited. Even though in the end of the movie, you see their names and everything.
Oh, so really? So they made an effort to hide these grown Power
Rangers. Because it just says, you know, like if you scroll all the way down on IMDb, it's like these people are going to show up in the movie, but they don't say, you know, what they're supposed to be there for. So.
Ah, interesting. But yeah, so definitely one of my favorite. Any other favorite movies moments from the movie that stick out to you guys?
I thought, I thought that the characterization of the Marvel family, even though they didn't really like as the superheroes. They weren't really able to establish the personalities of the kids, but still, it was nice to see them try to put an effort into the characterization. So with Mark Strong, with the kids, there was actual emotional investment in me, and surprisingly, and I know it sounds terrible, but it's been a while for a DCU movie that I actually had that emotional connection with. Considering that it was a comedy of sorts, it still had a lot of heart.
And I really think that, like looking back on Aquaman, Aquaman tried really hard to be humorous. You know, like the Aquaman character was trying to be quippy.
Yeah.
He was trying to be a superhero kind of deal. And them making fun of that, actually, and just kind of showing in terms of, you know, how a movie should present itself. Like, it was really well done that way. I enjoyed it, and, you know, probably top five DC. There's not really much to say about that. But,
well, we'll talk about that at the end over here.
Yeah.
So anything else before we finish our review? I mean, it's kind of like the movie. It went by really, really quickly, and so
our review. Then we finished strong.
March,
damn it!
It's hard. It's always difficult to see Mark Strong, and then not hear him do his Scottish accent.
Yeah. From Kingsman?
No, that's his real voice.
Oh, really?
Is that really?
I always thought it was an
purr, purr, purr.
Strong. But, like, you know, seeing him, he's a perfect villain for it. He just has that villain face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's an evil-looking Stanley Tucci already. So, putting him in.
They're different people. Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah, that's his dad.
No, it's a shut up, dude.
It is.
No, I hate you. I'm not even looking at you right now.
Had a roller for a second.
Think about that one.
Just half a second.
Yeah.
So, finally, I guess, like just like every other movie, the moment the movie ended, which again I thought was really, really great, I turned to Harold. Is there any end credits?
No.
And Harold, of course, said that there were two.
That's usually my job. Is every time we watch a movie, Dennis goes, is there an end credit? I have to click on the one non-spoiler one that says, yes, there are two of them. Otherwise, it'll ruin it for me. Yeah.
And the funny part is normally when we do this, it's like, it's a fun thing because it's like, oh my God, it's such a, you know, it's such, there's going to be Easter eggs and all those things. This one, admittedly, because of the reveal of the Marvel family, it kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah.
For those people who, well, if you haven't watched it, we have Dr. Savannah in the psych ward, I guess, right, I would imagine. Cell, yeah. And he's writing out all the symbols that that enables him, that enabled him to enter the subway station, the Rock of Eternity. And of course, it's not working. And all of a sudden, there's a metallic voice that you hear and starts kind of taunting him, saying, you know, you think that's the only way. And I have to tell you, it's one of the few times where I had to kind of like look back and think back, what the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on here? And were you able to read the 2013, I think it's 2013 or 2014, Shazam special?
Yes.
And that actually explained, like, I had to think back, and I was like, what the hell is the guy's name? Yeah. Or the character's name? And I'm guessing, I haven't checked yet, but I'm guessing it's Dr. Mind.
Yes, it is Mr. Mind. In the comic books, he is literally a worm. He is a worm who has telekinetic and telepathic abilities.
And that was the weird thing, is that I kept on wondering during the actual movie, why do they keep on going over the same damn worm? And it never clicked in my mind. I was like, oh.
Yeah,
that could be it.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you know, comic books has a history of, like, really weird characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, look on the other side of the aisle. You know, they have a talking raccoon who can build bombs for the Guardians of the Galaxy. And it looks like, you know, on the DC side of things, they embrace it. Because, yeah, when they were showing the worm, in my head, I was like, that cannot be Mr. Mind. Because, like I said, of all the kind of cheesy things you want to pull from a comic book, it's like, yeah, a talking sentient worm. Yeah, let's go with that one. It's like, probably low on the totem pole. But here we are. That's the teaser.
So is that commendable for DC?
I don't know.
Because it's like having The Flash, you know, and then the end credit, you don't have, like, a Mirror Master.
Or Reverse Flash, or
something like that. And, you know, and I'm pretty sure we were all waiting there going, okay, this is where Dwayne Johnson shows up.
Yes, I know.
This is where Dwayne Johnson goes up.
This is where Black Adam shows up.
He opens, like, the cell, and I'm like, there you go.
So, yeah, because, I mean, that's confirmed already, right? He is going to play...
Supposedly, but, you know how things change.
But again, it's not... According to them, it's not Captain Marvel 2. It's going to be... it's going to be him as Black Adam. It's a Black Adam movie.
Oh, okay. And so, it's a standalone. All right.
Nobody knows how it's going to connect. And so that I thought that was going to be the segue. And so when we had the final end credit, that's what I was expecting. Uh-huh. And of course, we just had like a little funny jab at Aquaman.
But there was that good joke at the end of Superman coming.
Oh, yes.
And I thought it was hilarious that they didn't show his face because, you know,
they
CGI'd his face up.
Yes. Ironically, we're not going to worry about CGI'ing his mustache off again. Just cut the head off. But I mean, really, we're just really paying for, you know, the costume anyway. Yeah. When you watch Superman.
It's sad to be the... Never mind, I don't want to say anything.
Yes.
So, finally, I guess, you know, it looks like we enjoyed this movie. Every single time we do a Marvel, an MCU movie, MCU movie, is that a redundant? Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So, an MCU movie, we always kind of decide where does it go in the pantheon of MCU movies. And, of course, this pantheon is kind of small.
Right.
So, where do you think this goes? Let's go around the triangle and see. Let's go top five. Can we even go top five? Top
three. They only have five movies, right?
Yeah. So they had Man of Steel in chronological order. We're looking at Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Justice League.
Excuse me. Green Lantern.
Oh, okay.
Does that count?
Is that
kind of
the
I'm
same?
Counting it
there. Okay, he's going to count it. So Green Lantern before all of that, then. And then Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and then Shazam.
Justice League
again.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And Batman.
Oh, and Suicide Squad. I forgot about Suicide Squad. Okay, for me...
Let's go top three, then. I don't know.
All right.
Top five.
Top five. All right. For me, I would definitely put this... Well, if we're going to go top five, Wonder Woman still, for me, walking out of that theater made me feel things that were amazing. So that's definitely top one for me.
There's some tingling.
There's some tingling in my spider... Wait, no spider senses in Wonder Woman. So I would probably put this top three, I guess, because, you know, Wonder Woman, I would risk to say Shazam is number two. and then Aquaman 3, and then Man of Steel at 4. That would be my top 4. And then my fifth, to round it up, I'd give it to Suicide Squad just for the sheer fun of, you know, the first half of that movie. So that's my top 5.
Harold, go ahead then.
Well, are you researching this?
Yeah, or? I'm just trying to figure out what's in there.
Okay. So I hate to say it, but I'm actually with Lou for most of this. I am going to give Wonder Woman just because, you know, just like why Iron Man is still always going to be one of the top movies, just because it set the bar so high for the Marvel Universe. That's and it. This one for Wonder Woman, we finally realized maybe, just maybe, this is what a DC Universe
this is the potential
movie can actually go.
Yeah.
I will go with Shazam for number 2. Number 3, and for those people, since when we did the Aquaman review, I admitted that I was not able to watch it. I finally got to watch it, and I really, really liked it. And before Shazam, it was in contention for number 2. I will go with Suicide Squad for number 4. Just because kind of like it was fun. It has Will Smith. And as of course, as our longtime listeners know, I love me some Will Smith. Okay? And that's why, for some reason, I'm excited about the Aladdin movie. last but not least, I actually enjoyed, and this is going to be a hot take, and the reason why I said it, I actually enjoyed Green Lantern. It is one of my guilty pleasures. But again, it's kind of like just because...
It's Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds. I am a Ryan Reynolds fan, and I will not hide the fact. So, top 5, just because it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I'm going to do top 3, because I can't.
It's like poop. Which one's the least smelly poop?
Yeah. The liquidy one. Gotta go. Obviously, Wonder Woman is the best DC movie they're probably ever gonna make.
Never know.
And then, Shazam. I had to pick Shazam. Because it was entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, it had its moments for everything. And then, probably gonna go Man of Steel. As weird as it is with having a depressed Superman, like an emo Superman that just ends up destroying more than anything else, and then snapping necks in halves and stuff, it's like, you know, 3A and 3B with Aquaman.
Okay, yeah.
And then, I guess I'll do it, but so Aquaman and then Justice League, because if you cut out a lot of it, it's not a bad movie, but I can watch it. Like I can watch it.
Nobody's putting a gun to your head. No, I can watch it, man. I can watch it.
Like,
just give me a second to get ready.
Like I love the Flash in Justice League. He was like the best character in that movie.
Solid choice. Yeah.
I feel like Dennis wants to punch me right now. Ezra Miller.
Did you hear about that? I'm guessing it's not a rumor, but that Ezra Miller and it was Jeff Johns?
Jeffrey Dunn? I don't remember.
No, but according to the news, in the interwebs, Ezra Miller is actively in the middle of writing or being part of the writing. Of the new Flash
really?
Movie.
Interesting. Because
he was unhappy with
the direction of
his characterization. And I'm like, and you know, it was the most irritating thing I've ever heard, because I want him to just go away. There needs to be a complete reboot.
Did he just bring Gustin in back early?
Ah, dude, just might as well, dude. Because, you know, if we were to put a fight between Ezra Miller and not Tobey Maguire, I'm not even going to say his name.
Tom Holland?
I told you I don't want to say his name.
Ezra Miller?
I can say Ezra Tom Miller. Holland. Yeah, sure.
If you say it 3 times, he'll appear.
Beetlejuice, Tom Holland. Oh, God! Hey guys, I'm Tom Holland.
He's British.
Except that's my British accent.
Oh, all British people are witches, huh?
Wait, that's not a witch. Hold on, what happened?
It's a cat getting shot with a baby gun.
That's me going, burr, burr, burr. That's a little bit too much. Oh, man. Okay. So, good stuff today. Look, you know, maybe, just maybe, we might be able to. Oh, no, wait. We're not going to see Endgame together. Lewis already made plans.
Preemptively.
Good job. You just didn't want to get hurt again. Is that what it is?
Basically, yes.
You know, and I'm here just going, hey, anybody that wants to watch it with me, I'm okay with it.
I'll watch it with you.
So I hope you enjoyed this review. As usual, check out all of our interwebs, yep. Or technology. Funny story, before we end this whole thing, it was National Burrito Day today. And I was trying to get a $5 burrito from a place called Baja Fresh. Shout out to Baja Fresh. And Harold told me that in order for me to get the deal, I needed to get the picture from Instagram. And admittedly, it took me at least 4 minutes to try to. And it took prompting from Harold and general pointing in the vicinity.
Literally, I had my finger hovering over the app. Maybe that's why he didn't see it, but literally, my hand was going down.
I think
down.
You were covering it, that's why.
No, I didn't want to grab your finger because that's just weird. Like, you know, I know we're boys and everything, but no one's grabbing each other's index fingers. It's just weird. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
But eventually, like everything else, Dennis found it.
Wow. That was good.
Straight out of nowhere.
Hey.
Like an
arcade. I found it. That's all I'm saying.
And we got some burritos, and they're actually pretty dang good.
Shout out to Shrimp Burrito. Shout out to Shrimp Burrito. I can't believe it, dude.
Best shout out ever, dude.
Hashtag, I can't believe I like Baja Fresh. So, check out our website, Two Fanboys.
Check out Baja Fresh.
Two Baja Fresh.
We're going to do a sponsor.
Check out our website, twofanboys1casual.com. I actually got around to actually writing something, so check it out.
Oh,
and nice. Of course, other things. Kind of shows you the interest level of Lucy. He didn't notice
I
had a new article.
No, he never even mentioned it to us. He's like, hey, is this picture too nasty?
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I should share that on. Speaking of which, I should share that on Facebook soon. I will tomorrow. Check it out on Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. We'll post any when our podcast goes live or any other fun articles and news stories out there. Fit to share.
To what?
I don't know.
Okay. And Instagram, Twitter. Instagram is this app that Dennis doesn't know how to use, but
I really can't. There's too much information.
It's too complicated to look at pictures for Dennis. It's literally a coloring book with no words.
But every single time I go there, for some reason, it's the same picture.
Maybe you should follow more people, dude.
Maybe if you're just following us.
Yeah.
I don't post pictures.
Yeah.
I just scroll. Anyways. So, Instagram and Twitter, Two Fanboys, One Casual.
Which, obviously, he didn't share my post over there because...
Yeah,
I didn't.
Lewis might have been.
I said, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. But the pig girl.
I know, but it's... I don't know.
Sexy pig girl.
So that is it for us right now. I hope you enjoyed our episode. Stay tuned next week. We are going to have more of the same, unfortunately. No?
No, it's different. Next week's episode is different.
It'll be exciting.
Oh, are we going to do another review? Next week we're reviewing WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. More reviews. That is it for us today. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Damn it.
That was the third time. Oh my God, Tom Holland!
I'm Tom Holland! Shazam! Oh wait.
I thought you were gonna fart into the mic.